The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the radio show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. From the Department of Philosophy, Professor Beth Oljar.
Good to be here.
Good to have you here.
I was taking a nap on the floor of my office. I'm not kidding you. I got so sleepy. I was reading literature on the death penalty. And I was like, make the jacket into a pillow, put my legs up on a chair, and lie on the floor.
Wait, the active phrase being, I was reading literature on the death penalty.
I just got sleepy.
It's just really just boring scholarship, let me tell you. Really boring scholarship.
It's the carpet fumes, isn't it? It's the fumes from the new carpeting.
So I set my little timer for 35 minutes and...
No, I don't think there's any problem with that whatsoever. I mean, I'm not even going to make it like a George Costanza joke or anything. Remember the how he lived under his desk for a while taking naps? I think that there are certain times of the day, and not even the same times every day, where I'm I'm gone. Like, here we go.
Can't we have siestas on campus?
That would be sweet. Well, let's do.
We do. It's called class.
Taking notes as an undergraduate when you get trail off, you get sleepy notes.
And that happened to me all the time in physics. Yikes! Never in Calc 3, though, Professor Dan Maggio.
Never.
So I took. I used to.
On rare occasions in my old office, I would close the door and I would just on my desk, but occasionally would wake up to the pile of drool.
That's what napkins are for.
This man can sleep at the drop of a hat.
That's good. That's good. And that's
yes,
a superpower,
you
man.
I've watched you do it.
Just napping?
Yeah.
Beth, I will give you a Sharpie if he does it again. That's what I threaten my students with if they fall asleep in my class. So
you're going to draw?
You're going to draw on their heads?
No, I spell words backwards on their forehead, and we won't even get into it. Adam's giving me the, don't you dare say that on the air. So
their hands are near the red button.
Yes.
Yes, exactly.
Dan likes his naps, which is I wholeheartedly approve of.
Mm-hmm. So newer... Overall, mother and continuing mother, Kendra Evans, is also with us from the Department of Chemistry and Biochemistry. Has it happened to you yet? You've been at your desk and start to nod off? And you have a little one at home and one on the way in November.
You know, I have to say, I don't remember getting a break long enough that I felt like I could sleep, but... I will say that there were the times that I had very bad morning sickness, and
that's
I
true.
Found myself laying on the floor in the office.
That's true.
Yeah,
so
for
I thought
all
you were
different
say,
reasons altogether.
The waist back.
I will say that I did not disclose any information about vomiting.
You're due in November?
November.
I got to tell you, from table position, you don't look like you're expecting.
This is a very good table height. Too bad I can't teach with a table in front of me.
They do it on television all the time. Work for Shelley Long on Cheers. I mean,
yeah, that's right. Like behind the bar or like the anchors. And
I could serve beers,
like
but
hide behind the keg.
But what kind of mother would you be?
Seriously.
Let alone what kind of chemistry professor would you be?
Maybe that's more applicable.
Hops and barley. You know, there's chemistry making beer, right?
There's a
few people over 20 in my class.
There
like
better be
three.
That's a big deal for freshmen.
Teach in Canada. They can be 19.
Yeah, that's right. And they also make near beer, right, Professor Dave Chow?
Of course they do.
Now, have you ever done near beer?
Not in Canada.
Not in Canada, no. Right, God forbid. Right. That'd be sacrilege over there.
Seriously, but it was really big during the 60s, 70s, 80s.
What is near beer? Is that non-alcoholic?
Near beer was, it wasn't actually beer based on alcohol content, but it did have a very small
like
percentage. So
point.
If you pounded like 17 of them, you could get drunk. And that's what, I want to say 70s and 80s era teens
I would say,
were doing near beer.
I would say 80s.
I would say late
80s.
Okay.
Late
80s?
Yeah.
I was doing wine coolers
like
in the 80s.
Bartles and James.
Bartles and James.
Those were the
Thanks
best commercials.
That was 80s.
Are those gone?
I have
not for sale anymore?
Because now there's like Mike's Hard Limeade and
Lemonade.
Yeah,
that is true.
I have not seen Bartles and
They're
James.
So sweet,
they went out with Zima, didn't they? I mean,
Zima.
Is Zima not for sale anymore?
No, it's long gone.
Ladies and gentlemen, this
Next
is a program
tab.
Where you can send us questions regarding anything, including nostalgic alcoholic beverages. That would be an awesome question set, by the way, if you could drum that one up. Tell you what, if you stump the panel, you'll win one of our prizes. You can send the questions to us in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/atp. You can fax the profs at 313-993-1166 or send the questions the old-fashioned way, like Bartles and James used to make.
On a bar
wine coolers.
Quit laughing at me.
Thanks for your support. College of Liberal Arts and Education, University of Detroit Mercy, 4001 West McNichols Road, Detroit, Michigan, 48221. 3038 You know, we had one question left, one single question from Frank Burrows of Valencia, California last time. And it was, who's the only star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame who has a star in all five categories? Motion pictures, broadcast TV, music, radio, and theater. And I had just gotten cut off in our last show. It was Gene Autry, if you can believe it, the famous country singer, with one in every category. But there was a bonus question. Number 16. What were each of the profs' most memorable vacations, as I am writing these questions during the always memorable summer vacation months? What was your most memorable vacation? This is easy. I'll kick things off. Give you a All right, Homer Simpson. There's a time and a place for everything. It's called undergrad.
That's right.
I did not vacation as a child. We visited family, but we never went on an actual family vacation to any place fun after my sister was born. So that's pretty much it for me.
So you blame it on her?
Totally. I will hold it over her head.
Forever.
In perpetuity.
How about you guys?
Oh.
Most memorable.
I've traveled vacation. Quite a bit. Yeah. But does one supersede another? Like, I've gone backpacking up the Oregon coast into Washington, slept on beaches. That was neat.
That's neat.
Driving through the Canadian Rockies.
Wow. Big deal. Big deal.
Snowboarding in Colorado and such like that. It's always fun. Mm-hmm. So
wouldn't be fun now.
So but I guess my weekend in Howell doesn't really match up.
In Howell?
No.
Muskegon.
I spent a month in England, Ireland, and Scotland.
Oh, that's
with my
cool
best friend, Joe Gaffman.
That's
He's
cool
listening, Joe. That was fun. That was a good time.
Either Disneyland when I was 7. That was pretty cool.
Big deal. Big deal.
Or, I mean, we went to the coast all the time growing
in
up
Washington.
In Oregon.
Oh, okay.
So, or Hawaii when I was 14, because we were there, Mount St. Helens erupted.
Oh, my.
So we came back to, you know, half an inch of ash on everything. Yeah,
unbelievable. Awesome. Unbelievable. Hey, we have a visitor. Sort of like Cheers used to do.
It's
Professor
Norm.
Jason
Norm.
Roach. How are you doing, Jay?
Hey, I'm a little late, but otherwise good.
It beats being the late Jason Roach.
So good to hear.
So best vacation, Kendra?
Kendra and Jason, we're looking for best vacation.
I also traveled a lot growing up. We had an RV, and I've been to all 48 continental U.S. states, the last of which was California. And I think it would be very difficult to say the most memorable.
How's Oregon. About the most embarrassing? How's about that? That's always easier.
Most embarrassing vacation?
I think one that I particularly liked for a while was traveling up the East Coast. I'm not normally an East Coast person, but we went up to Maine, and Maine is very beautiful.
It is.
There's no place like Maine.
It's rockier than I thought it was.
It's very rocky.
Yeah, I was surprised.
Those lighthouses were very important back in the day.
Yes.
Yeah. Might run into that state.
You're right. I do like Maine.
Main cool. things to keep the main thing the main thing.
My turn?
Professor
yes,
Roach?
Your turn.
Most memorable vacation?
Most memorable vacation. When I was 15, my family drove across country to see my cousin graduate from college.
So you went from?
From upstate New York to down through Texas.
Wow.
We stopped at the Grand Canyon, Carlsbad Caverns, up California to Napa Valley, where she went to school.
Oh, my gosh.
And then back across the plains.
Nice.
Wow. That was pretty memorable.
You've been to almost every state, it sounds, for pizza.
And I want to go back.
Yeah, the giant redwoods in California, the Hearst Castle, those were pretty...
San Simeon,
those were pretty memorable.
The Monterey Bay Aquarium, that's always a good
one. As memorable as my Mickey Mouse ears, but...
Who can forget those?
Who can forget?
I looked pretty cute in them.
Yeah.
I
just got to say.
Well, take your word for it.
Awesome. Well, here's some more questions, profs. Professor Mayo and panelists. Attached is the first of four sets of questions, which the ever-loyal Michael Jason can delegate to shows throughout this academic year. These are the first questions I've sent since Kathy Bush's passing. My mother also passed away about the same time, and I got preoccupied with estate matters that I've had to deal with, and only this past summer have I come back to ATP, catching up by listening to multiple programs per day over several weeks. We now know that that's called binge listening.
It's called blunt punishment, too.
Given each set has a different number of questions, I'll let a humble moderator determine what number is passing for each. We'll see at the end, of course. I hope to either stump the profs and win a prize or be stumped by the profs and win a prize. Have a great year. Kimberly Richards of Van Nuys, California.
More California Kimberly people.
Long time. It's been almost 3 or 4 years, I think, since we've had questions from her. So we are very glad to have them. And if you send us 4 sets, Kimberly, we're totally caught up.
Yay.
All right, these are all over the joint, as usual. This is the best way to do it. Does anybody know, as a piece of trivia, what was the first TV show that spun off of another TV show?
The Jeffersons?
I'm going to tell you, it was 1958, which, if I remember, like 54 as the first year of TV, this is really early on.
Could it be something off The Honeymooners?
Yeah.
It wasn't?
Wasn't I
I'm getting a vibe from the name of the shows, but I've never heard them before.
Like a Dick Van Dyke?
The Flying No. That was
not The
60s.
Flying No. The original show was a show called Trackdown.
Oh. Like Dragnet?
Mm-mm.
Just the facts, man.
The Fugitive?
Nope. The spinoff was Wanted, Dead or Alive. I'm getting a cowboy western feel from these names.
I'm thinking
names.
Bad 1980s disco songs.
Yeah.
That's
somebody
not a bad
song. Wearing an eye patch.
Some other time.
Just downloaded that song the other day. So.
Did you? Excellent.
I'm with you, Beth. It's not that bad.
Mm-hmm. It's not. It's a great song. Just the video was like...
That's right.
Well...
What was the first soap opera to generate a primetime spinoff?
The Edge of Night?
Nope. It's one that, oh gosh, you know, like I would ever know what's actually on the air right now, especially when it comes to soap operas. But yeah, I think it might still be on.
General Hospital, One Life
Days
to Live,
of Our Lives.
Ryan's Hope.
Still haven't heard it.
Did you say it was primetime, though?
Well, the spinoff was primetime.
Oh.
Yeah, the Guiding Light?
Still haven't heard
As the World Turns?
As the World Turns. Wow. Spinoff something in 1965. Any ideas?
Oh.
Peyton Place.
Born in 1965.
Not a clue.
Shares one word with the title of the soap opera. Give it a whirl.
As
the planet spins.
That's 2 words.
As my stomach spins.
The word is world?
Yeah, it is. I'll give it to you then.
World.
Our Private World was the spinoff that went primetime. Yes, I'm actually giving
you the
points.
You're the most lenient judge and moderator
in the history
of trivia shows.
Absolutely. On the Rockford Files, the license plate on Jim Rockford's Camaro was 835-OKG. What was the origin of this license plate number?
He was born on August 35. Oh, wait.
Oh, no. That was the year of the car?
853 represents August 1953 when Garner got his first acting role.
Wow.
Pretty good. Partial credit.
I was trying to be funny by saying
Now, what was his first acting role?
What about the OKG?
Was that his real original name?
Mm-mm. The G is for Garner. Though.
Okay.
Is it his father's initials?
No.
Grandfather's initials? Mom's initials?
I don't know.
Initials.
What do you think besides all right when you think of okay?
I think
Oklahoma.
Of
yeah, he was born in Oklahoma. Yeah, he was born in Oklahoma, so I'm giving you that one too.
That
I mean, you jumped right on that, Jason. Mm-hmm. I was just trying
to be facetious because there are no 35 days in August, but.
Well, it's 1853 or 853, and I already need a break.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback.
1995.
Thank you.
You're after welcome. Whom are Baby Ruth candy bars named?
President Kidd's wife.
No.
The president's
kid. Kid, that's right. Grover Cleveland's daughter, yeah. Ruth. Yeah.
Was that an illegitimate?
So yes, she's the one that, you know.
Is that where's my pa?
Gone to the White House.
That's right.
No, that was the Kennedy years.
No, that was Grover Cleveland. Mayor of Buffalo. Hey.
But now, aren't the ads trying to make some connection between Babe Ruth and...
Because they're written by idiots.
Oh,
because
they don't know.
That's right, they're stupid
Oh, they're
people.
Not like intentionally misleading,
no,
they just don't know.
Stupid people. Oh. Uneducated,
what?
Stupid people.
People in advertisement are stupid, Edwin? Is that
yes.
what you're trying to
Edwin is leaving out the crucial point. They're uneducated, they're stupid, highly paid people.
That's
just
right.
Mad
they are
but we're not bitter, okay. I'll say
no,
that.
No, not us.
We're too big for that.
We're generous of spirit.
And we're back, because that's what I'm told to do. Who was... Okay, so there was a dog on Punky Brewster, remember? Kind of a muddy kind of dog. The dog on Punky Brewster was named Brandon. How did he get that name?
He was Brandon?
Oh, Brandon.
That was the producer's dog's name.
You're in the wheelhouse, but no. The
producer's cat's name?
No.
The producer's child's name.
It was Punky's Mother's dog's name?
Brothers.
Brandon? That doesn't ring any bells? 80s era TV?
Brandon.
Oh, like Brandon 90210?
Walsh after 90210?
No. Yeah, that was where I was going. Bell.
I think it was before that.
What if I say Brandon Tartikoff?
Oh, the head of NBC.
He was the head of NBC. Oh, he was the president.
No, you're thinking of.
I know I was thinking of
Fran Tarkington.
Sounds the same to me, really. Give me it is close. Friday.
Jerry Tarkanian. You know, they're all the same.
Who was the first sitting U.S. president who appeared on The Tonight Show?
Richard Nixon?
Nope.
Obama.
Charles
it was
Ford.
Barack Obama.
Really?
Wow. The first sitting U.S. president who appeared on The Tonight Show.
Oh, no, I'm thinking laughing.
I believe he was ridiculed for doing it. As
well,
being frivolous.
I believe he's ridiculed for everything.
Yes, well, yeah. That is the job of the president.
Yeah.
To be ridiculed.
No, that's the job
everything.
Of the Fox Network.
You figured out how we're not going to bomb Syria? Well, dude, where's my war?
Dude, where's my car? Where? Syria? What? Who was the youngest actor to have a lead role in a TV series? He was 7.
The kid on The Courtship of Eddie's Father.
No, but that's a good guess. I like that guess, actually.
He had a lead?
Lead.
Webster?
His name was in the title of the show.
Different
Ronnie Allen Rippey. Famous comic strip.
Dennis the Menace?
Dennis the Menace. Jay North was just 7 when he took the lead on that show.
Webster. That was
man, he must have had some messed
Webster.
Up
come on,
teenage
George
Karras.
I know, I liked it. Oh, that was a great
God
show.
God rest his soul.
George Papadopoulos.
That's right.
Greatest Detroit line ever. What percentage of American parents have ever actually used the V-chip in their TV?
It's probably minuscule. Yeah,
it is a small number.
4.3.
3%.
It is higher than 3 or 4.3.
8.9.
Ooh, I like that. We get a scientist.
It's higher than 8.9.
Decimal
13.6.
Points.
I'm giving it to you. 15% over the life of the device. 15%.
It's not very precise.
It's not very precise. Well,
neither was the trip.
The kids should get in a little electric shock, right, when they go to the... Like in the South Park,
yeah. South
like,
Park
like,
movie.
Like, right, yeah.
I want this V-chip out of me. Yeah. It is stunting my vocabulary.
I can't believe it's that high. That people would take the time to figure out how to use it.
Seriously.
15%.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like the, it must be one of those psychological things, because now they have PSAs where like, the giant bloody zombie comes into the woman's house.
Those are crazy.
And she's just like a house mom, and she's like, I gotta tell you to go because I don't want you around the kids.
Just
and he's like,
know.
Oh, he leaves. Like, that's probably more effective than showing people how to use
the mob V-chip. Guys who come in. Yeah.
That's great. That was, I don't know, that's good stuff.
It works.
Saturday Night Live was once telecast from outside New York City, but only once.
Chicago.
What city did that broadcast come from in 1977? So that would have been around
Chicago?
The first season. It wasn't Chicago.
Hmm. L.A.
Not L.A.
Philly.
Nope.
Baltimore.
Deep South.
Atlanta.
Nope.
New Orleans.
Deeper. It was New Orleans in 1977.
Did you know why?
No, it doesn't say anything here. It's fascinating.
New Orleans
is
awesome.
It's fascinating. It is, but why was Saturday Night Live there? That's weird.
1979?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it was Mardi Gras week.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I would have thought it was like in Jersey somewhere because there was some outage or the,
right.
flooding. In
and somehow live from New Orleans at Saturday night doesn't sound right.
Yeah.
You know, it just doesn't.
It must have been said, right?
Yeah.
Country music singer and songwriter Waylon Jennings narrated every single episode of The Dukes of Hazzard. In how many episodes did he appear on camera?
3.
Never?
None.
Not 3, not 0.
1.
1 is the correct answer. He
was
in
only
1.
I was waiting for going decimals again. That's all.
1.4.
4.1.
3.2.
Only his ankle was showing.
It's like just sort of the side butt cheek in the shot, and that's it. You could see because he had his chaw.
He was wearing his Daisy Dukes. It was not
pretty. The sensors got hold of that one.
Yep. What did, do you remember, Get Smart? Chaos and Control. K-A-O-S and Control, spelled regular, stand for as acronyms on Get Smart.
Ooh, man. Oh, man. I love that show, but I can't even think
chaos
of
it. Chaos is something against. No.
Organized.
Criminals Against Ordered Society.
You know, here it says the Chaos and Control stood for absolutely nothing.
Oh, good.
Which would be a great joke, by the way. But I love the fact that Beth just pulled that one out, and it made perfect sense.
You must have been a very good test taker.
Seriously. What was the first?
I've struggled with test anxiety, actually, through most. The movie was great, the movie remake. I thought it was quite fun. It was hilarious and true to the character.
Oh,
it was
really
good.
Yeah.
What was the first drama show canceled from broadcast TV and then revived on cable? Great trivia question. I'll give you a frame of reference.
Is it old or new?
1983. Oh. The rise of the cable networks, early 80s.
Canceled.
Used to be on CBS, and then Showtime picked it up.
Darn! I was gonna go Battlestar Galactica.
Falcon Crest. It's gotta be some stupid soap.
You're in the wheelhouse.
Knott's Landing.
Nope.
Dallas.
Let's see. An object that Dave uses a lot in his job.
Pen.
Nope.
Crayon.
Things that he draws.
Crayon.
Thanks a lot.
Paper.
Paper
chase.
The paper chase is the correct.
Oh wow! The John Houseman one.
Yeah. Move to Showtime. Very interesting. There were 300, let's see if we can do this mathematically, 363. You could watch a different episode of Alfred Hitchcock Presents every day of the year and only have 2 days to spare. But how many did Hitch direct?
None.
No, it was not zero. Oh, it was 13.6. You know, if we round that up to
14,
then I'll give it to you because it's 18. You know, I mean, 13.6 is as good a number as any other number.
I'll bid $1. $1.
Sold.
I mean, he was the producer of everything, but the director of only 18 of the 363.
Were they better than the other ones?
That's a good question because I used to love that show. I thought that show
was. It would be interesting to go back and find out which ones.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
Have you seen Hitchcock, the movie?
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, it's great.
Apparently that's good, too. Yeah. No, I've heard about it. Who has hosted the most television game shows with 20 different series?
I think we might have had this one.
Mark Summers.
Neither.
No, not you. Bill Cullen.
His last? It was Bill Cullen. His last was the new $25,000 pyramid, 1987, and he died very soon after. Yes. So 20 different game shows.
Because he realized that $25,000 was just nothing.
I know.
I'll take it.
Remember the old Plinko game? You can win up to $10,000. Who cares?
But do you remember when Plinko first came on, occasionally the chip would get stuck and poor Bob would have to get that little poker knock it out of there?
Are you serious?
Yes.
This happened on real television?
Yeah. Yes,
this happened on real television.
We were talking about the prices right this morning in class.
Go to YouTube and Google
I've never even heard of that show.
Hasn't it happened before that Vanna went to go touch the letter? You know how she's just supposed, is supposed to light up and it didn't really do it or something? I think that's happened. So that's the problem with modern day technology.
That's true.
I thought they spun around.
Now there's digital screens that she touches and they light up, you know?
Her job got Vanna, pick me a letter.
And she got paid a lot more.
Yeah.
Indeed.
So the game show host in second place actually had a top 10 album from 1959 titled House of Cards.
That's Chuck Wink Martindale.
Wink Martindale. It was Wink Martindale, from Card Sharks, I'm assuming.
He did everything. No, it wasn't. Well, there were a couple hosts of Card Sharks.
Well, yeah, but that's why I remember.
But the original.
Jim Perry, I believe, was
the original.
Wink Martindale is one of the greatest
names
ever. I was
going to mention Card Sharks earlier. That's so funny because when you were talking about, you know, percents and you're doing decimals, I'm like, you would have been a terrible Card Sharks player because they wouldn't have. I was going to say that.
Wouldn't have liked that?
No, you have to give whole numbers.
Look at this look on her face like, well, where's the fun in that?
Just had to appeal to the masses.
We're ramping up the cool trivia here, profs.
All right.
What detective series introduced a case that took more than 2 decades to solve? So stick with me here. On October 7th, 1973, an episode was aired, Little Boy Lost. On what show? Solved on Diagnosis Murder, February 20th, 1997.
Andy Griffith.
Not Andy Griffith.
Well, it was a real case.
No. It was a case in the show from one series in the 70s that was picked up in 97 and solved on a different show.
Yeah. You mean kind of as a joke?
I don't think so. No, I think
who did Dick Van Dyke hang with, though? Like, what shows
but
would
was
he have
a, was a
was he a detective?
Chitty, it was not bang, a real bang, case. It was not a real murder.
It was a real on the show, but it wasn't something really out there.
Yeah,
and the show starts with the letter M.
Murder, She Wrote?
Nope.
This was in the 70s?
October 7th, 1973.
So it's not Magnum P.I.?
Nope.
No.
McMillan and Wife?
Nope.
McCloud?
You guys are hitting, like, everything but the correct response.
Yeah.
Mannix.
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 Mike Connors in that Tweety jacket. I love that jacket.
So for some reason, the writers sit down in the late 90s and go, we should pick that up where they left off. That's so odd.
I wonder if dead long
the show
enough.
Would be Cold Case or something.
I know. It's like the ultimate crossover. Mannix and Dick Van Dyke.
That would be like an Easter egg.
Seriously.
For like one in a million person mm-hmm. paying attention.
What was the first TV show to release every episode that it had on VHS? Wow. Recently made into a movie starring Johnny Depp.
Lone Ranger.
21 Jump Street.
No and no.
Not Lone Ranger?
Nope.
Ha. What else has he been
21
in?
21 Jump Street. What else?
Only about a year old.
There were no Pirates of the Caribbean.
Nope. Alice in Wonderland?
Nope. No. What else is he getting like everything
Edward Scissorhands?
For... it's a giveaway, but Johnny Depp played a vampire in the movie.
Oh, Dark Shadows.
Dark Shadows.
Oh, did anybody see that?
The movie was not that...
No.
It did live up to that. It had so much potential, and it was so formulaic, it made me want to throw up.
Yeah. So the bookend to that question, which I think is also fascinating, because I actually knew the answer to this one, because I remarked, I think, when this happened, that I was like, that'll never take off, and look at where we are now. What was the first TV show to have all of the entire series released on DVD?
MASH?
Well, not The Sopranos? That would have been in the
It would have been mid-90s? Right when DVDs were becoming extremely popular.
Okay. So before Sopranos.
Late
90s? It's not WKRP.
Mid-90s, late 90s.
Cheers?
No.
Barney Miller?
No.
Friends?
Soap?
No.
Happy
Seinfeld.
Days.
Seinfeld.
Laverne and Shirley. Drama? Comedy?
It was a combination modern anthology mixed with overarching mystery.
Darn, there goes moonlighting.
It was The X-Files.
Oh,
was the first
right.
series
yeah,
released on DVD. And I remember seeing those 27 DVDs going, who's going to buy this? And now that's all that everybody does. Well, or get from Netflix, I suppose.
Scully.
Same sort of thing.
Oh. Hey, there's another person that was pregnant on a TV show they hid well.
Did they hide it? I thought
I thought
she had the baby.
Did they
on
say
the show.
She got impregnated by aliens?
Yeah, didn't they? Weird. Name a television season, so a year window. Remember, television does fall, winter as their season, where the Western hit its peak by as gauged by the number of shows that had a Western theme that were on TV.
69 to 60.
It was not 69 to 60. It was 26 television shows at the same time.
69 to 60?
No, I said 59 to 60.
Oh then that is exactly 60. Correct. Oh.
Is it?
It is?
I thought you said 69. I apologize. All right. Yeah, that's
it. That'd be awesome.
59 to 60. That's incredible. How many times has the top cash prize of $50,000 been won on Plinko?
Never.
Once.
Never is correct.
Oh, really?
Never.
Do you know the odds of that stupid
hitting
chip
that middle one with the light in it?
Never.
What act has appeared the most times in the Ed Sullivan Show? They perform Shakespeare-based sketches 67 times.
Funny
I've never seen a single episode of
The
Ed
New
Sullivan.
Christy Minstrels?
No.
Topo Gigio.
Rowan and Martin.
Wayne Schuster is the name of the...
Shorter, shooter.
Never heard of
him. I prefer Chi.
Time to say goodbye, Professor Chow.
See ya.
Professor Evans.
Bye-bye.
Professor Roach.
Audio.
Professor Maggio.
I was going to stay here till next week.
Professor Oljar.
Later.
And now these words.
Email your questions to atp@udmercy.edu. Or you may fax them to 313-993-1166. Attention, Ask the Professor.
Ask the Professor is transcribed in the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced and technically directed, it's produced technically by Adam Winbigler and Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.